The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
How many of you know that if you walk with God, you walk with the Lord for very long, people are going to get upset with you. People are going to be offended by you. Now, you know, we as believers, our heart is not to be offensive. But it happens because sometimes you believe in somebody when they cannot believe in themselves. There was a period of time in my life, I was struggling and going through different challenges, and I had a network of churches that I had raised up, and I just loved those people. I used to travel on the road all the time. Some of you remember when I was here in 78, and then I came back later on for another one. We did a lot of Jesus meetings and that kind of stuff back in the 70s and 80s. And I found myself being torn apart by people that I had loved. Somebody wanted a position. One of my elders had 12 churches, 15 churches that I'd put together over the years, and it helped establish them. And some people wanted to do what I did, which I would have gladly let them do whatever it was that I did, because I really didn't know what I did. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when people come in and God calls them, He doesn't call them very perfected. He calls them with bumps and lumps and little nicks and some big ones. He doesn't call people that are all prepared. Well, I was like the chief of that. How many of you know Paul, very educated man? Paul was one of the greatest. He was the youngest member of the Sanhedrin Council, which was the highest religious governmental time in Israel. And they answered only to Rome, you know. One of the things that's really interesting, Paul, who was a Pharisee, not only a well-educated man, he'd been trained at the feet of the high priest Gamaliel. And he had been raised up. Now, he wasn't a very impressive man. As a matter of fact, the pastor, you talked about it last night, that this young man, being young, around 28 years of age, when he became a member of the Sanhedrin Council, he stood at the pit of stoning when Stephen was killed, when he was taken, his life was taken, with the coats of the men that were going to kill this young man. Now, I'm one guy. You can write this down. You can do it on your own time, but I have studied Stephen. And of all the people, all the men, all the women that lived in that time, nobody gave a greater defense of who Jesus was than that young man. And if you look in the scripture, you'll find a young person. He's called the rich young ruler. We know that he was rich. We know that he was young. We don't know that he was a ruler. Just that's assumption. But we do know those two things as fact. And then he comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And the Lord said to him, "Well, you need to obey the commandments. Do what the Father told you." "Oh, I've done that since I was a little guy." You know, now he's probably up, say, a teenager, maybe in his 20s. But he's a young man that has accrued things probably through his family, probably through his own work, and just like us, you know. And some of us have a lot. Some of us don't. We just do the best we can with what we got. Isn't that right? anyway, Jesus said, well, obey your parents, you know, do these things. And he said, those things I've done since I was a child. What do I lack? What must I do? And he's really crying out of his knots. He's crying out of the cracks in his life. He's crying out of a desperate need of identity. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you this. My life has been a life of crying out of the cracks, saying, God, somehow. You know, guys, when you are put into a college when you couldn't even read or write or spell the word book, and God says, hey, I want you to speak for me. Oh, wait a minute. Lord, not me. Come on, Jesus. He invaded my life. I wasn't walking around looking for Jesus. I was a very bad person. I don't want to go through all that, but I was a very, 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 very bad person. I'd done some evil, evil things, much worse than some of you can even imagine. But this man invaded my life. He had saved my whole family. The Lord had touched everyone in my family, my mom, my stepdad, my brother, everybody that was alive in my family, aunts, uncles, cousins, and all filled with the Spirit, speaking in this funny talking stuff. You know what that's like? You've been around that, haven't you? And all of a sudden, the Lord says, let me tell you this first. I'm sitting in a chair at my mother's house. Now, I'd gone up there. I was on the run. I'd shot a couple guys in Tucson, Arizona. I was on the run from the cops, and I was going to pick up some things that were worth money. I could sell them and get out of the country. My habit was to run to Mexico and hide out with the Hispanic people. And my patch name when I was a biker was Loco because I was crazy. Anyway, I'm looking for a way to get out of the country, get some money and so forth. And my mother, God bless her heart, she didn't know how to raise me. My dad didn't know what to do with me. I had spent years doing everything in the world that would push them away because I was hurt. I was mad. I was wounded. I had scars and things that had happened in my life, as we all do, some worse than others, but we all have them. I'm sitting in my mom's house, and they're praying for me. I'd gone to church that morning with my mother to kill the preacher. I had a .357 on me, and I went to the church, and I'm looking for a way. Everybody's talking about how great Jesus is and how great this is and that. And I'm sitting there with a gun, and I'm saying, I'll show them their God. When I get there, there's about 1,500 people. Now, that .357 got 6 rounds. Now, you can't kill 1,500 people with 6 rounds. I don't care how bad you are. So, you know, even common sense for a dummy like me says, hey, don't shoot nobody unless you have to. So I sat in that service. Man, I was blistered mad, blistered mad. And this guy would come across. He was an Apache, a full-blooded Apache Indian. And he'd walk past the platform. And he'd stop on the other side and he'd say, hey, I want you to know Jesus loves you. Then he'd go on with his sermon. He'd walk over here. Jesus loves you. He'd point back. Man, every time he'd do it, I'm sitting here in that chair trying to, you know, I'm gonna do something here. And then finally the service is over, and boy, I was gone. And the dude's standing at the door. And I had to go past him. He stuck out his hand, and I looked at him. I said, man, you need to say something to your God today. And I walked out the door. And I can only tell you that with all the lumps and scrapes and beat ups and things that were wrong with me, and there was a multitude, I never could see that I had a hole in my heart. You need to hear what I said. I never knew that I had a hole in my heart. Not really my physical heart, but I had a hole in me that nothing could fill. My drug was violence. I didn't do drugs. I was a sergeant arms of the Nomads of the Hells Angels for 8 years. My job, my life was in doing what they told me to do, and I did it faithfully. But there was nothing could really satisfy that hole. Not drugs, I didn't do that much, but not alcohol, not partying, not doing, just nothing could fix that. And there was like an ache inside of me that just could not be overcome. Anyway, I go back to my mother's house, and all my family, a bunch of them, they all go back to the house, cousins and aunts and uncles, and they start praying in this Holy Ghost stuff. And I'm hearing them in the other room. They're in like the front room. I'm an Italian by descent, so some of my family are sitting in the other room, and that was the parlor. And then there was a kitchen, and then there was a den. And they're in the parlor part of the house, and they're praying. I can hear them. Hey, but I'm God, man, so, but I'm not all that. And I'm going, what in the? And I wasn't, you know, really bad guy. I hope and I pray to God you can't see that guy today. You know, the Father is really, really, really good about changing people. So sometimes when you look at yourself or you look at someone else and you say, you know, I don't think there's a chance. Listen to this story. A good friend of mine told me many years ago, Ron, there is power. Say power. Come on, say power. Oh, come on, I can hear the women. What's the matter with you men? You bunch of dead-sucking low-lifes men. Suck it up and be a man. Jesus. You know, my job in the kingdom of God is not to plow. I plowed for years as a pastor. I stuck the plow in the ground, pulled the rocks up, pulled the roots up, pulled all kinds of junk up. Then about 20 years ago, God said, your plowing is over. Now you're a waterer. And that's wonderful. I want to do whatever my Father wants me to do. He said, you water the seed, the leadership, and the house has put in the ground, and I will bless them, and I will bless you. And I have found in the years of walking, I've been walking with the Lord for 45 years in the ministry. So in those years, I've found that watering the seed that others have sown brings great joy to them, and I like get a part of the fruit. You know what I'm saying, preacher? Come on now. I asked him to do this. And here's the reason. Music will quiet the soul. When I was here last night, I really enjoyed myself, but I was a little disappointed in the men. And I say that because, you see, you'll never grow. You'll never get anywhere as long as the women are the worshipers in this house. Now, it's kind of a plowing thing. I stuck the plow in the ground right there, and some of you men may go, wait a minute, you ain't telling me what to do. Really? You believe that? Then step your little self out the door, and this old man will take you to task. I'll show you what manhood really is. And that is, if you ain't got enough guts to step forward with God, I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, you're a punk and a sissy. God got no need for you. You'd be better off to have a handful of women that know how to worship God and call down the power of God than have an army full of men that can't raise a sword. Hello. You want to see change? You want to take this city, take this county, take this region? You got to do something that you're not doing right now. And what you're not doing right now is the men are not leading this church. Now, ladies, I love you. I really do. I applaud the women of God that have stood in the gap for us men of cowardice. We've laid down the tools of war, not the tools of this kind of war, but the tools of the war of the heart. We have lost the ability to love others at our expense. See, a true warrior says, I'll give you what I have. I'll love you at my expense, not your. I want you to understand this. I don't come here for your money. I haven't done a meeting for money in 20, 30 years. Whether you give or whether you don't, I'm going to give you everything God tells me to give you. And if you get mad, you're going to get mad. Because in the same britches and the same shoes you got mad, you can get glad. But if you're waiting for me to hold your hand and burp you and make you feel good about yourself so you'll give, you're wasting your time. Now, I'm telling you, I sit down with Pastor Rob and this handsome young man. God, I love your singing, dude. Where'd you get that? I told the people last night, I'm the blackest white boy you ever seen in your life. Listen, man, I can't hardly stand walking around trying to worship God with a bunch of white folk. They drive me nuts. Oh, happy day when Jesus comes. Oh, we're going to. Oh, I probably made a boo-boo there, man. It's all right. It's all right. Am I all right? Am I all right? All right, come on, man. Woo! Somebody got to enjoy the journey. This hole in your heart, in our hearts, in my heart, could not be filled. Could not be filled from anything. I've been married to Miss Minnie right there. Stand up, baby. This wonderful woman for 48 years. For a long time after being a believer, I lost that network of churches. Not because I run off with some woman or stuck a straw up my nose and got drunk, but because I was too straight. I was hard. But see, I didn't know. Pastor, I didn't know how to love people. And one of the things that God wants you to learn right from the start. Sitting in that house with my mother, God invaded my space. He didn't ask me. I'm sitting in a chair and I said, you know, I can't stand this to myself. I got to get out of here. I'm in this chair and I'm rocking. I said, man, I got to. My cousin come walking in from the front room into the kitchen to get a glass of water. And I knew, you see, I couldn't get up. I couldn't get out of that chair. All the pressure I did to apply to get up, it pushed me back. And I'm going, my goodness, man. What, you know, I didn't say my goodness, but I had no strength. And I see John come walking into the kitchen, and I think in my mind, if I can bust this sucker, I can get out of this chair. Because, you know, anger will make you do a lot of stupid stuff. When John walked in the kitchen, I said, hey, dude, come here, man. I'm going to bust you in the mouth. And as soon as I said it, my arm fell. He looked at me, and I said, nah, never mind. Get away from me. I'm sitting in this chair. I can't get up, and now I can't use my arm. And the first thing comes to me, I'm 26. I'm dying. I've lived a bad life. I got a stroke or a heart attack or something. And all of a sudden, them six people that were in that other room come walking into the den, got their little Bibles under their arm, like all the things that you know. Here's the sign, bro. I was raised a Catholic, you know, to some degree, and I knew the little religious deal they were going to do. And here they come. They surround me, and they're going to pray for me. I mean, I'm so, man, I'd tear somebody in two. And all of a sudden, they started praying, God, set this man free. And all of a sudden, God reached down, and the only way I can tell you is just what happened to me. And there was a bunch of people there that saw it. But I was picked up out of that chair and raised my head all the way to the ceiling. Turned in the air, and I came down on my knees, and my head fell in my mother's lap. And I go, man, what is this? Now, all of a sudden, it was like grabbing a drape. You grab like a drape across the wall, and that drape was opened. And I saw two guys walking up a hill. One guy was beating another man. Now, you got to understand where I came from. If you hurt somebody that had not done something to you, you were worse than anything I knew of. Now, I defended a lot of people. I was a very bad person. But if you hurt somebody, if I saw a man hit a woman, my God, look out, man. If I saw somebody smack a child, I was just ruthless. If anything happened, like, I'd just come to their aid, whatever it took. And well, these two guys are walking up this hill. The one man is kicking this guy and spitting on him and calling him every kind of foul thing you can imagine. Gets him up the top of this hill. And he kicks him in the back and knocks him to the ground. He beat him unmercifully. And I'm sitting there in my mind going, why, man? That don't make sense. And all of a sudden, he turned that guy over and nailed him to a big piece of wood. And he grabbed him underneath his arms and he raised him up and hung him in a tree. Now, I knew a little bit about crucifixion because you go to church, you see Jesus hanging on a cross. But it's pretty. It's a beautiful cross. Gold and all kinds of precious things are there. But this wasn't precious. There was nothing good about this. He hung him in this tree and cursed him. And I could not grab a why. Why have you done this? And then the guy that did it turned around and walked away. And when he did, I looked at me. And then I heard the Lord. Never heard God in my life, ever. But I heard this man called Jesus call me by my name. My father, God bless his heart and rest his soul, never called me Ron, Ronnie, Ron, Ronald. Never called me in my lifetime by my name. But this man called me Ron. And he said, Ron, I love you. And I'm going to set you free. And suddenly, like that powerful, mighty wind, my heart was filled with something that I never knew. I couldn't hold it. I couldn't contain it. But I got touched by it. And what it was the love of the Father. Now, I've walked with God, as I said, a long time, guys. You know, my life has come to an end a couple times. I've been dead. And God has turned around instead of letting me die. He said, no. Every sign was, it's over, Ron. It's over. And I was okay with that. I've worked. I've done my job. I've done what God sent me here to do. And I was tired. And I was dying. And God said, no. I'm not finished. And he didn't say he wasn't finished with me. He said he wasn't finished with you. Did you hear what I said? God's not finished with you. So I'm here not because I'm something special, but because you're something special. I'm here because the Father is in love with you. And so he hung me out, in a sense, to, okay, God. Finally, about a year and a half ago, whatever it was, I dealing with dying and living and dying, and they did this heart transplant, and I got living and dying with cancer. And then I finally realized, okay, Ron, you're going to do what I want you to do. You're going to fill the hearts of my people with the love of the Father. How can a man, how can a human being never, ever, ever, ever know love of any kind except of my wife and my lady, my bride, my lover, my friend, who for years in the transition trying to find how to walk with God, because I had no concept, even though I preached. You know, I came here to Little Hocking, Ohio, a few miles from here, and gave some word. We said there several thousand people got saved, but I didn't really know what I was doing. I just did what I did. Tried to tell people the story and did a terrible job doing it. Somehow people would get it. They'd get, you need to have an encounter with the Lord. And so that propelled me to a lot of things. But during that time of my life, the only thing that let me stay plugged in was that lady. For years, after betrayal came into my life, my wife prayed the prayers that I should have prayed. My wife believed for me when I couldn't believe for myself. My wife shed the tears that I could not shed. I was so mad. Not mad at God, but mad at people. And see, the Lord had to bring me to the place in life where I could learn how to love you. Learn how to believe for you. Learn how to cry for you. Learn how to stand when you can't stand. So I want you to know I'm not here about me. I'm here because of you. Somebody say amen, Brother Ron. I want you to just let the Lord saturate you as my brother plays. Just let that sense, not really the feeling, but let the sense of his presence fill your heart. Know right now that if you'll take a breath, you'll breathe in something you've never had before. You may have touched it, but it didn't become part of your DNA. I can ask you the question, not how many of you have said, Jesus, forgive me. I'm sure all of you have, most all of you. But there are people that are here that have walked with God per se and never had their heart filled and don't know how to love people. There's no roadmap. You know, you can't sit down and say, okay, Ron, here's a list of 10 things you can do, and you can get your heart filled. There's really only one. Let the wall down. See, the Father told me, he said, Ron, you've walked all these years with me and other people and always had a wall of protection. Don't let anybody pass that wall. And it was so thick and so high, the only one that ever made a crack in that wall was that lady. But she couldn't make it happen. She tried. You see, your wife or your husband can believe in you, believe for you beyond what you can believe. But this is personal. This is about you and He who created you and loved you and gave Himself away for you. Yesterday when I was sharing the meeting, I made a couple statements. Now again, I'm not trying to preach a sermon to you. I don't do that. I gave up writing out sermons a number of years ago. What I'm here to do, at least as much as I can, is to give you my heart. Give you an example of how to get there. But I wrote down a couple things, and I said it last night. God could not, and God hasn't. God wouldn't take you down a road of death without a purpose. See, until a man or a woman lose their life, they'll never know what life is. And here's an absolute truth. This is me, and I may say it in the wrong way, and if I do, please, please grant me a little mercy and say, well, Ron, you still got some edges that got to be peeled off. But God is going to lead you to the place where you die to you. And see, I get in men's cases all the time. I do a lot of men's meeting. Matter of fact, I don't know how many of you remember Dr. Ed Cole. Anybody remember him? Dr. Ed Cole, before 2 days before he passed away, Brother John Kelly and I went to his house. I've known Brother Cole. He baptized many in water 45 years ago. He was my brother's pastor. And I came to know him as probably the first man that knew anything about loving people, loving men. He wrote not only great books, he raised up great family. But 2 days before he went home to the Lord, I was there. And the last thing, I just couldn't get away from it. I told Brother John, I said, Brother John, I don't know what to do. I feel like God's telling me to have him pray for me. And he said, it's God. Now, he had bone cancer, spinal cancer. Couldn't move, just, you know, he was dreaming about going to Oregon and sit and look at the sunset, sunrise, before he went home. His wife had already gone to the Lord. A tremendous time. It was a crushing time for me because I really loved him. And I asked him, I said, Brother Cole, will you pray for me? And I felt embarrassed about it. And he said, sure, come here. So I walked over by the bed and I bent down on my knee. And he started praying the blessing of a father to a son. And I'm kind of overwhelmed because Paul was standing right there, his blood son. And he stops. And all of a sudden I fall on both of my knees. And I hear him say, Father, I pray for a father. I pray for a father. Now, I don't know that I've ever said that in this kind of setting in my life. I've talked to some people. Brother Kelly was there. It's in the book Loco. But I'm telling you, God is saying, Ron, I got you here because I want you to raise up men and women that can carry my heart, that will carry my heart, that will be more than just somebody goes to church and gives their little money thing and does their little hallelujah deal, but people that I can raise up to shake the earth, to literally stop time. The Lord at times walked up to a wall and they couldn't find him because he had passed through the wall. They went to grasp him, to put him in bondage, chains, and kill him. They went after him and he was gone. He knew what was going on. That day is the day that Jesus did. It's a day that Jesus is doing. Now, it may be a little bit different. But if you want to see a living, walking, breathing miracle, you're looking at it. I'm telling you, I'm just a marker stone. Remember what I said about Paul? Remember? I told you about Stephen. Here's a very incredible truth. This is my own studies and my own understanding, which is, comes at some price. My doctorate, which I have a master's in psychology and a doctorate in theology, but my studies say that Stephen, the rich young ruler, was really Stephen. The rich young ruler was Stephen. He had intimate knowledge of Christ. Somewhere along in that young man's life, he turned away from his riches and he turned to the Lord. Because God told him, say, take everything that you identify with and give it away and come and follow me. And I believe that Stephen, who was that young man, eventually gave everything away and he followed Christ. And his defense of the Son of God, who he talked about, this Jesus is going to set you free. This Jesus will fill your heart. And the laid-back, passive attitude that we have will begin to rise up and crumble the work of the enemy. You know, Samson, big, strong man, something got a hold of him and he lost his purpose. But before it was over with, he gathered all that he knew about God. And he said, though they take my life, though they slay me, I will not lay down. See, God is in the business of raising up men and women that will not lay down. And when it comes to worship God, we will shake the heavens. The heavens will not shake us, but we will shake the heavens with the heart of love towards man. Somebody has got to step up. My place here is not to plow in the ground, but water the seed in the ground. You're not just an ordinary church, guys. You're just not some little church out in the country that you come and you hang out. You're going to have a great women's meeting. Somewhere down the road, you guys need to suck it up and have a men's meeting. And let the men learn how to be men. You sit around looking bad, looking like you got an attitude. Somebody needs to come in here and tell you what an attitude really is. Not being some passive, milquetoast, no heart, no guts, but a man that'll say, I'll take a stand for God. When it's too hard to go on, when it's too tough for me to make another commitment, I'm going to take one step. I'm going to take one step. And no matter what happens, I'm not going to quit. I'm not backing up. I'm not running. I'm going to take another step. No matter how much God has done in your life, you, my brother, God has done much in your life. I spoke to you last night, am I right? Forgive me, because sometimes I forget. But I can remember this. God told me he was going to open a door in front of you. And I hope you didn't hear that with a deaf ear. You need to really, really know. If you'll look, you're going to see the hand of God in a breath. It's going to break the back of the enemy, and God's going to release you to release others. Amen. It's 11:30. See, they're leaving already. I'm only kidding. Let me read this to you and I'll quit. But I said God couldn't or wouldn't, couldn't and hasn't. He hasn't or couldn't rescind what he has given. God could not take away what he's given you. You remember when you met the Lord? You remember when Jesus came and confronted you and all of a sudden somehow you said, Jesus, forgive me. I don't even know what I'm saying here. I don't even know what I'm doing. But mama was praying for you. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody was believing for you. And somehow you said the famous words, Jesus, forgive me. Please forgive me. And then you went on with your life and, things didn't go too good. But you didn't realize that God could not pull back what he had given you. It wasn't just salvation so you don't go to hell. I mean, if that's all what this is all about, how come you hadn't come back? You know, come on, man. I mean, I know people have gotten saved thousands and thousands of times. Probably some of you in this room. I got saved. You know, I don't know how man came along one day and believed that this thing was all about salvation. God did not create you to go to hell. You go, you're on your own, bro. You go to hell, it's because you chose, not because God chose. God will not rescind back the life that he wanted to give you. No matter what you do wrong, no matter where you've been, no matter how wrong you've made it, no matter all the screw-ups and all the mistakes you've made, God is not going to pull back what he's given you. But you got to learn as a man or a woman to stand up, take your place of responsibility, and accept what God has given you unbiasedly, without reservation. My God has set me free. Whether I live or whether I die, I will shout to the mountains, I am free. See, the times of your life are not over. I see some of you that might be older than me, which is hard to believe. I talked to a little sister and she said, I think I'm older than you are. I said, well, honey, that's probably true, but I got a lot more miles than you do. You know? So I don't know what works worse, years or miles. But when you got years and miles, now you're in trouble. Come on. What's your name, little guy? What is it? Caden. God, that's a good name. Is that your mama? Your aunt, buddy? Your Aunt Betty. Great? You don't look like a great aunt. Somebody's taking good care of you. God bless your heart. That would be you. Now, see, bro, come on, man. Give me some stuff here. I see, that's the way it's done. You got to care for your Aunt Biddy even more than you care for you. But you got to care for you so that you can care for her. You see, the young have got the heart, got the vigor, got the whatever to go on. When the young people come up and pray for me, I'm telling you, man, I soak that in. That don't happen to me very often. And it is a privilege. Like God saying to me, son, I'm going to put the young beside you because you're going to help them find their path. That's you. It's not me. It's you. You are going to lead them. One day I'm going to be gone. Now, until that day comes, I'm going to shout with the loudest voice I can. I'm going to stand with the biggest footprint that I can make upon the face of the earth. so that you'll say, I can follow that. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, God.
God.
Come on, somebody say, God.
God.
I stand with you. I'm not backing up. I'm not running away. I'm standing strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Whoa. Hallelujah. Say, but I'm also made. My God. I love him so much. It just. Last thing I said. Didn't I say I'd do that? I did two? Did I? I'm going to do three. Three things. God hasn't stopped working toward your destiny.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on now. God didn't stop in your mess up thinking, well, your destiny's been thwarted. It's over. God will not stop. God hasn't given up. Come on now. No matter what it looks like, God ain't quit. Now, sometimes we might quit, but I'm telling you, there is return available to those that say, I'm not stopping. I'm going to take another step. Now, I believe that there's some people here that have been fiddling around with the things of God. You guys been playing church, playing at God. Now, it's a lot of men, but there's some women in this room, too. Hello. You're saying, Brother Ron, you're meddling. No, I'm not. I already know. I don't have to meddle to find out what's wrong with you. I can see it. Come on. You can't be walking this walk 45 years and serving other people and helping them, trying to do what they, and mess it up, and then learn some other things without getting some kind of discernment. You know, and I ain't missing God here. So there's some of you have been fiddling around with the Lord. And it's time, right now, right now. It's time, right now, for you to stand up and say, God, I'm going to take another step. I'm going to take another step. I've been hampered. I've been hamstrung. I've been beat down and run over. But I'm going to get up and take one more step. So every one of you in this room, I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to have an altar call. Come on down here and let you know what will happen if Jesus comes back tonight. Will you die and go to hell, or will you go to heaven? That ain't even the issue. The issue isn't whether you're going to die and go to hell. The issue is, are you going to kick the devil to hell? And you can't do that by compromise. So every man, woman in this room that say, you know, I'm going to take another step. I'm going to take another step in God. You may not even know, okay, what kind of step am I going to take? Don't you worry about it. Don't you busy your little mind and say, oh, well, what do I got to do? It ain't what you got to do. It's what you're going to become. So if you're here and you say, hey, well, you are here. You're here and you say, you know what? I need to make another step. I'm not talking about you getting saved again. I'm not talking about you sitting here recommitting again. I'm here to tell you it's time to go on. Whatever that is, whatever God puts in front of you, I'm going to take a step. That's you. I want you to stand up right where you're at. Right now, come on. Get to your feet. If that's you, I want you to get up. Come on. I told you, I'm not going to beg you. I don't beg people. Woo. Now, look at there, preacher. Look around and see what happened. Now, you understand what's before you? What's before you is war. What you're going to be able to do is fight with a spiritual war. Amen? One of the biggest problems you got, I'm going to tell you this from my heart, one of the biggest your problems you have is your identity. There'll be people who say, well, you need deliverance, you need this, you need that. They got a million things out there you got to go through and you got to have. The one thing nobody can give you is the determination to take one more step. So if you're saying, Father, this morning, what is today? The 10th? Is that right? The 10th day of April? April 10th. 11:42. I'm going to take another step. So if you will, I want you to kind of move out here in this aisle. Right here, get as close as you can to in the center. You know, just move a little bit from where you're at. And the reason I say that is I want you to move from the position you're in. Let it be a significant thing in your mind. I'm taking a step. Hear this. A preacher, you might get this one. Take this in notes. Step outside of your bad self. My God, they didn't hear me, brother. I said step on outside of your bad self. Come on, somebody, step outside. Step outside of your bad self. I'm gonna write me another book, sis, and I'm gonna call it Step Outside of Your Bad Self. Come on, just stand up here with me. We're gonna pray. Woo! We're gonna pray and let God release us. All right? Come on, are you ready? Come on, church, are you ready?
Ready.
Come on, somebody tell me I'm ready. Are you ready? Come on, somebody. Listen, I want you to let some passion out. Are you ready? Come on, somebody, are you ready? Woo, are you ready in Jesus' name? Come on, somebody, are you ready? Come on, see, the grandmas are ready. What about you men? How about that tall, steady-looking dude, right? Don't be looking around. You, dude. Are you ready? What's your name? What is it, Caleb? Caleb! You know, Caleb wasn't some chunk standing by the water. Moses turned around and said, Caleb, it's on you. I've done my part. Step up. Don't be some chump standing on the street corner. Hello, how old are you? 15. Lord God said to me, you ruined them shoes. You're going to be a devil-kicking dude. Woo! Devil-kicking something. Give me some stuff, brother. Come on, give me some stuff. Yeah, come on.
I'm ready.
Yes, I'm ready.
Step up.
Woo, I'm ready.
To go with God.
Well, I'm ready.
Ready.
Yes, I'm ready.
Ready.
Woo, I'm ready.
Ready.
Yes, I'm ready.
Ready.
Oh, that's good.
And go with God.
Now, let me say this to you. We're going to pray. Now, guys, today, when you go home with your family, you step up the plate. And you pray for your family. You take the members of your family. Put your arms around them. And hug on them. Like this is the last day you'll ever see them. You men, put your arms around your woman and say, baby, I'm ready to love you at my expense. Did you hear me now? Do you understand what I'm saying? Love that woman at your expense. Not her doing for you, but you doing for her. Come on, somebody. Woo! Now you gotta be in a ready, 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 ready posture. Are you ready? Come on, are you ready? Dude, are you ready? Come here, man, come here. Now see, I need some young, and I say I need, this church needs some young dudes that will step up. Are you gonna step up or are you gonna step back? Step up?
Step up.
Now see, you can't let him fail. Now where's your mom and daddy? Right there? That's a nice lady. See, I thought if you had a dumb woman or a dumb man to be a mom and daddy, you'd probably be dumb yourself. But she's a nice lady. So are you ready? All right, everybody, take somebody's hand real quick. Let's say this together. Father, oh, come on, man. Baptist, quit it. Y'all wearing me out here. Say, Father,
I stand
in your presence, and I am ready. I am willing, and I put my ability to take a step beyond myself. Now take a step right now. Just take a step. Now if you'll do that and you'll concentrate on, I'm not taking a step for the need, I'm taking a step for the answer. My job is the answer. Your place is the answer. Your place is the answer. You're a big man. You represent things to people. They need to see the bigness of God in you. Not a shirking man, but a man that will stand up and be accounted. Amen? So, Father God, I thank you for these people. I believe you as I pray, God. I just don't ask you, but I believe that you will set their feet to dancing. You'll put a shout in this church that shakes this city, shakes this county, and shakes this region. Lord, let your name be exalted in all that they do and all that they say and all that they are. Everybody said? Oh, come on, man. Come on now. Yeah, come on. Come on. Somebody give God a shout. Somebody tell him, I love you, Jesus. I love you. Woo. Well, I think I'm tired. I like this guy. There ain't a lot of preachers I like. I've been dealing with them most all my life, and a bunch of backstabbing, motor mouthing, no guts, no heart. But this one's not one of them. Amen. And it's a joy. It really is. It's a joy to meet a family like this. I don't know what God's going to do out of all this, but I'm going to tell you, it's a privilege for me to be here. And thank them young children for this. Amen. It was an honor to let them pray. Amen. I can go back and see Miss Minnie if there's anything back there that helps you. Pick it up. Amen. If you don't have the money, you say, Brother Ron, I don't have any money. Just pick it up and take it. Amen. I don't sell books. I sell hearts. Praise the Lord.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Worship Center. I hope you enjoyed this message from one of our anointed visiting speakers. Please visit our website to learn more about our ministry at bethelwc.org. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ.